Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Tzadik. We will begin on Daf Pei Tes Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom at the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues in discussing the shiurim for various different foods, different items. What is the shiur for carrying? So the Mishnah says, Hamoitzi Eitzim, the amount of wood you carry out, Ikdei Levashu Beikala. As we learned on Daf Pei, when a piece of wood is not usable as a pen, then the shear is the amount that you would use to cook a beikala. As we learned, the beikala that the Mishnah meant is a chicken egg. And the reason it's called a beikala, because that's the type of egg that gets cooked the quickest. Tavlin, spices, kedei l'tavl beikala, the amount it takes to put spice to make tasty a chicken egg. So the Sfas Emes makes an interesting point. He says, I understand when we speak about wood and we want to call the egg a beikala and not just call it a chicken egg. The reason the Gemara calls it that way is because, as we just said, because that's the egg that gets cooked quickest. But why, asks the Sfas Emes, when we speak about spice, do we have to identify the spice as something which is used? Why do we have to identify the spice as a use the spice for beikala? Why can't we identify the spice as the amount to spice a chicken egg? So the Sfas Emes says that the Mishnah is trying to teach us that chicken eggs get spiced quicker, just like they get cooked quicker. They're spicing, they're tasty on their own. And since they're quite tasty on their own, they don't need excessive spices. And therefore, since they don't need excessive spices, the shear is, so that's what the Mishnah calls a beikala. And continues the Mishnah, umetzdar from zeze. Different type of spices can be combined for the shear, for the minimum shear, which the Gemara will discuss in Mitzvah Shem very soon. Different ingredients, as we will see, were used for the manufacture of spices. Klipi agoizim, the soft shell around nuts. Klipi rimonim, the peels of a pomegranate. Este supua, different types of herbs. All of these are ingredients that were used to make dye. So the amount of material that you'd carry out is the amount, says the Mishnah, Kedei L'tzvoye ben Beged Kotno Pi Sifcha. The Sifcha, as we've learned earlier, was the hat that the women used to wear. And on top of the hat, there used to be a cloth. So the amount that you need to color that hat, that covering on top of the hat, that is the shear for carrying out a dye on Shabbos. Meiraglayim, urine, Nesen Uburis, Kamilya Va'eshlig. These are different types of materials that were used for detergent. Kedel Chabis, Beged Katan Pisivcha. The amount that was used to clean the small beged, the small piece of cloth that's on top of the hat. Rabbi Hudaim Kedel Haver Esakesim. As we learned in Masech the Nida, they used to use these different materials to take out stains. The Gemara over there discusses how you take out the stain or how you could determine if a stain that you have, is it from a nida, from the dam of a nida, or it's a different stain. So the Mishnah says that Yehuda's shear, which is a smaller shear, is the amount to use to take out those stains. Begins the Gemara, Tanina Chadazima. Ask the Gemara, the Alocha that we learned in this Mishnah, we already learned previously. As we said, we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Pei, Kana, when it comes to take out a reed, it could last as kumis, the amount that you need to manufacture a pen. However, Mhoyev or Marusis, if that piece of wood was too thick or cracked, so it can't be used to make a quill, so then we learned that the shear is Kedei Levashel Bei Kal Shebebelim, to cook the easiest type of egg there is to cook. And then there are other conditions that we learned. It has to be trufa. It has to be an egg that's already beaten. Unasuna be'elfis, and put it into the pot. And next, as when we learned the Gemara, we said not only does it have to be put into the pot, but it has to be put into the pot when the pot is hot. Because when it's put into the pot, when the pot is hot, then it gets cooked quicker. But we already learned this shear previously. Answers the Gemara Matatema. Hasum de lechazul midi. There, we're talking about a piece of wood that can't be used for anything else. And therefore, that's the shear that we came up, the amount of wood you need to cook the egg. Aval eitzim, the wood of our Mishnah, the chazal kocha da klida, which is usable for the teeth of a lock, of a key. So there you need a very small amount of wood. We would think of filu kol shehu, that even the smallest piece of wood should be enough for carrying on Shabbos. Kamash one, that's what our Mishnah comes to teach us. Then no, you need the amount that you use to cook an egg. And as the Rishonim explained, this goes back to a concept that we've discussed many times in our Masechta, that when Chazal determined the shear, yes, you could find a use for this material even smaller. But in determining this, Chazal looked for something that is at least quite usable, a common use. So using wood to make the parts of a key is a very uncommon use. And since it's such a uncommon use, Chazal didn't use that to determine the size of this wood to carry out. Tavlin, when we speak about spices, says the Mishnah Kedela Tavl Be'ekala, the amount of spice you need to spice this egg. Vermini, ask the Gemara. It says in the Braisa, Tavlin Shnayim V'Shloisha Shemus Mimen Echad. If you have different spices that of different names, but they're all the same type of spice. So the best example Rashi could give is you have black pepper, white pepper, all different types of pepper. And the question that's discussed over there in the Mishnah is if these, regarding the halachas of klayim, oy meshlish minim, that there are three different kinds when one would not, and Rashi takes out the word shem echad. So Rashi says that if you have three types of spices that have different names, but they're from one family, or seasonings that have, or you have now seasonings of different names, whether they're the same kind or different kind, asurim, they are mitzdarf from zeh mezeh. They can be mitzdarf together. So that's Rashi's explanation of the Mishnah. And we don't say, according to Rashi, the Chiddush is, that since each spice is insignificant, all the spices can combine, and now you have the proper shear. Tosfos, the very masculine surim, has a different interpretation. He says that we're speaking about when they're put into the pot. If you put enough of these spices into the pot, that they give taste to the pot, that all these different types of tavlinim are mixed into the pot, they can make that the entire pot, the food in the pot, are usur. Vama Chizkiya, and Chizkiya in explaining the Gemara, b'mina mesika shanu. They were talking about different spices, however, ruil matikas kedera. Since they're all one type, so they all can blend together to combine. However, if they're not the same type and they don't give off the same type, then a flavor, then they're not combining. But what do we see? Tam de chazo lamatika sagdera. Only because they have this commonality, that's when they can combine. Halav hachi, if they didn't have this quality, loy, they wouldn't combine. So our Mishnah seems to say that they combine under all circumstances. Answers the Gemara, hachanami chaz lamate. When our Mishnah is saying that they combine, our Mishnah indeed is referring to spices that have a similar taste and therefore they can combine. So as the Ramban explains this Gemara, he says there's a difference, and we made this point in previous Shurim, there's a difference, he says, between spices and food. When we spoke about food, we learned that different foods, even though they have different taste, And only, not only do they have different tastes, but they're foods that normally don't combine. They're different types of food. We learned that the halacha is that they still mitzdarfim zeh zeh, they can combine together for the shir. And the Ramban says, because food is significant, even though these foods do not normally are not eaten together, they still combine. But when we speak about spices, he said, don't combine unless they come from the same family. If the tastes are very different, they cannot combine. The Tosfos Rid has a different approach. Tosfos Rid says that when we speak about spices, so we're typically, as we've learned so many times, the shear for carrying is a groigris. So a groigris, if you're going to rely on the shear of a groigris, so then different foods, even though they don't really naturally combine, but because they are all the shear of a groigris, that's enough to make them combine. But when we speak about foods, as we're speaking in our Gemara, foods that don't have the shear groigris, you're carrying out a lot less. So in order to be able to have such foods combined, you have to have a proper shear. And the proper shear, you have to have that they naturally combine. And if they don't naturally combine, then they can't combine for carrying out on Shabbos. The Bach brings up an interesting point. He says, we know that the iser for meat, which is nevela, is a very different iser than meat that is trefa. So the question is, if you have nevela meat and trefa meat that fell into a pot together, and you don't have enough nevela meat or trefa meat alone to make the pot usur, but if you combine them, you'll have enough. Are they mitzdarif or not? So points out the Bach and the Drisha, that since, as we're learning in our Gemara, if they naturally combine, then they can combine here as well. And therefore he says that they would seem that they combine. It's not clear that the Drisha would necessarily agree with that opinion cited by the Bach. Says the Mishnah, Klipei Agoizim, Klipei Remoinim Stisul Fur, Kedei Letzpoi Beged Katan. The shear is the amount that you need to dye the small cloth on top of the woman's hat. Vermini asked the Gemara, we learned earlier, Hamoitzis Simonim Shruyim, if somebody's carrying out dye, the amount is Kedei Letzpoi Ben Dugma Le'ira, enough to make the sample. We discussed this numerous times, that they used to take dye and take a small swatch and use that to be a swatch for coloring, for a sample, for somebody who wants to see which colors I have available if I'm in the business of selling dye, which is a smaller shear than our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Nachman, Amar of Bavua. L'fisha'en adam tarech lishas samamonim l'tzmoy ben dugma l'ira. Our Gemara, he says, is referring to a situation where you're carrying out the ingredients to make dye. So when you're carrying out ingredients to make dye, you're going to carry out a decent amount of ingredient because it's not so simple to manufacture a dye. So since it's not so simple to manufacture a dye, so for that, you're going to take out a larger amount of dye. However, where we're speaking about dye, which is already prepared, so for that, you're even going to use the smallest amount of dye to use for making a sample. We continued learning the Mishnah, different items that we use as detergents. The Mishnah says, Mei Reglayim. Tana Mei Reglayim, Ara Boim Yoim. When is the Mei Reglayim worthwhile? Says the Braisa, if they're up to 40 days old. If they're over 40 days old, then they're not useful. That's the Girsa that we have. But there's another Girsa that says, so it means up to 40 days it's good, after 40 days it's not good. There are others that say that just the opposite, that it's only useful. There's a different girsa that says only after 40 days. After 40 days, the meraglayim becomes potent that it should be used as a detergent. Under 40 days, it's not yet potent. Nesar, Tana Nesar Alexandris, Feloi Netzer Apendrin. When we speak about Nesar, we're talking about the Nesar that comes from Alexandria, not from Petrin. Buris is a different type of ingredient. Amar Yehuda Zachol, sand. Ask them, how could you call Buris sand? There's a brice that says Haburis Vachol, clearly indicating that Buris and Chol are not the same. Elamai Buris, says the Gemara, what is the definition of Buris? Burisa. It's sulfur. Meisve, asked the Gemara, the brice says, there it speaks about different things that grow, if they're subject to Hilchus Shemitah or not. Hoisifalam ha-chalbitzin ve-le'unin ha-boris ve-oil. V'is-al-kadaitach. If we're going to say that Buris is kavrisa, so the question is, kavrisa mi'isa b'shvius, is sulfur subject to Hilchus Shvius? V'tanya, doesn't the Braisa teach us? Kosh ze-klal. Kosh yeshla ikar, something that has a root, yeshla shvius, is subject to Hilchus Shvius. V'she'en lo ikar, something which is not, does not have a root, ein loy shvius, isn't subject to Hilchus Shvius. Says the Gemara, it must be Buris is not sulfur, it must be Ola. We learn here a very important rule. The rule that this Gemara just taught us is that in order to be subject to Hilchus Shvius, it has to be something that grows from the ground, that has a root in the ground. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in the Shas Chuvas Micha Shloime Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Chav Tes, says that based on this, cotton and tobacco, which grow from the ground, are subject to Hilchus Shvius. The Klaus Magareba, however, in the Shas Chuvas Divrei Yatziv Yoredei Simen Reish Yudalid, disagrees. He says that tobacco is not something that's not considered a peiri, and only something which is considered a peiri is subject to Hilchus Shvius. And then he goes on to say that since the halacha is that melugma, something which is used as a refuah, the halacha is not subject to Hilchus Shvius. And the reason a melugma is not subject to Hilchus Shvius is because only something which is used by everybody is subject to Hilchus Shvius. So he says, this melugma, medicine, is not used by everybody. Since it's not used by everybody, it's not subject to Hilchus Shvius. So he says, certainly, we're going to say the same thing regarding tobacco. Not everybody uses tobacco. He says that people shouldn't use tobacco. We shouldn't smoke. We know that smoking is unhealthy. So since smoking is unhealthy and people don't typically use tobacco, so he says that tobacco is not subject to Hilchus Shemitah. As I said, Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees, and this really, to a degree, is connected to another question, which is not the subject of today's shiur, but is smoking considered a davar shavul chol nefesh? Is smoking something that everybody does? Because if it isn't, then the halacha would be that you would not be allowed to smoke on Yontif because it's not considered oichel nefesh if it's not a dova hashavol chol nefesh. Says the Gemara, kimula, what is kimula? Omer of Yehuda, shloiftots. It's something called shloiftots. And it's interesting to point out that Rashi says over here, when Rashi speaks about Shloif dots, Vatanya Boris for Allah. So that's the Gemara. So we see clearly that Boris and Allah are not one and the same. Says the Gemara, there must be Trey Gavni Allah, the two types of Allah. Kimula, says the Gemara, Amrav Yehuda Shloif dots. And it's interesting to point out that when Rashi tries to explain Shloif dots, Lois Barish, Rashi says, I don't know what it is. Avakach Shmo, that's its name. Rashi is teaching us, I think, a very important lesson. If Rashi doesn't know what it is, so Rashi shouldn't have explained it. Why is Rashi telling us what it is? Why is Rashi saying? Rashi says to us that if you don't know something, don't be embarrassed to say, I don't know what it is. Ashlag. What is Ashlag? Amar of Shmuel. Shatin al-Khal Nechusa Yama. I asked all the people who travel. So people who typically travel are well aware of what's going on and they're open to many different experiences. What is it? It's something called Shanona. Mishtakich benukva de Maganisa. It could be found in the holes of pearls. Umafkale beramtsa de parazalo. And to take it out, you need to use a pointed iron tool. Pepelis. The shear of carrying out a pepper is kolshu, even the slightest amount. V'itron, the amount of taking out tar, also is kolshu, is the smallest amount. Mine b'somma mine matches, different types of spices or metal, the shear is kolshahein. Me'avnei ha-mizbeach, or me'avnei ofra mizbeach, somebody takes out stones from the mizbeach, or from the earth around the mizbeach. Me'kak svarim, the decayed svarim, or the decayed amount of the wrap around the svarim, kolshu. The shear is a kolshu. The halacha is that even the smallest amount of these items you have to put away. And since you have to put away even the smallest amount, that gives it a chshivas. Rav Yehuda Omer, af hamotzi mishamsha avodah zarah, even if somebody takes out the smallest amount of avodah zara, kolshu. It's the smallest amount. Shenemar v'lo yibak b'yotcha me'umah menacherim. So the Torah, by saying this, the Torah is giving a chshivas even to the smallest amount. And since the Torah is giving us the chshivas even to the smallest amount, you carry out the smallest amount, yechayiv. And based on this Mishnah, that the Mishnah says that the decayed svarim, or decayed wrapping around the svarim, the halacha is, it's a kol shehu. From here we see, says the Agos Oshri, that we must put into Sheamus any, even the smallest amount of decayed Tashmishe Kedusha. Because the Mishnah is teaching us that even a kol shehu must be put away. And we also see from here that not only are the svarim have to be put away in Sheamus if they're no usable, but even the covers or the other accessories around Svarim also have to be put away. Pepelis kolshu, so we learned that the smallest amount of pepper is a kolshu. So as the Rash in Masechta Orla points out, the pepelis of this Mishnah is not the pepelis of the previous Mishnah. Because there we gave the amount that you need to spice the egg that you're cooking. And here we're talking about a kolshu. It's a different type of pepper that was used, what was useful, even a small grain was put into the mouth to prevent bad breath. Itrin kolshu, lemai chazya, what was the small amount of tar used for? Says the Gemara Letzilchasa. If somebody had a migraine headache, this was what they ate. They took to solve that problem. Minei besamim kolshu. Tana rabbanan. Hamotzi reyach ra kolshu. If somebody takes out a substance that has a bad odor, it's a kolshu. Shemen toiv kolshu. It takes out a good oil. The shear is any amount. Argomen, take out purple dye. Very expensive. The shear is kolshu. And Sulis Havered, again, a rose, a beautiful flower, the shear is kolshu. So I saw that the Rishonim point out that when we speak about these different items, the Shemen Toiv, the Argomon, we could understand why the shear is a kolshu. Because they're significant, even a kolshu of these ingredients, of these items, are choshev. But what about Reich Ra? A Reich Ra doesn't have a chshivas, so you're only taking it out because you want to take it out of your home. From here, we must say that this is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda, as we've discussed numerous times in our Masechta, is of the opinion that a Malach Hashem Etzrich L'Gufa is Chayiv on Shabbos. So this is being removed just because you want to take it out of your home. But that's enough of a reason, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to be Chayiv, because he holds you Chayiv from Malach Hashem Etzrich L'Gufa. We learned further in the Mishnah, the Minei Matches, when it comes to all types of metal, the shear is kol shein. Ask the Gemara, lemai chazu, What are they usable for? Tanya, Rav Shimon, Elazar, Omer, Shekein Roy, Las Menadar B'Katan. On the top of the stick that they used to use to prod the animals, they put the small piece of metal. Tanabon. So says the Gemara, and as we've mentioned many times, even though our Masechta quite extensively has been teaching us the shiurim for different items, just because that's the shiur when we speak about Hilchus Shabbos, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the same shiur when we speak about different halachas. And what we're going to learn now is a perfect example. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Haim Arele Barzel, if somebody accepts upon himself that he's going to donate metal to the Beis HaMikdash. Achem Oimrim, Yoyivchos, here the shear is that you have to donate Loyivchos me Amal Amma. You have to at least donate the size of metal that's an Amma by an Amma. Ask the Gemara Lamai Chazya, what is that piece of metal useful for? Says the Gemara Chalya Ayriv. They put on the top of the Beis HaMikdash this type of metal with pointed pieces of metal, a sheet of metal with pointed pieces to keep the birds, the crows, from not resting on top of the Beis HaMikdash. There is an interesting discussion in the Rishonim if they only had this Kalya Oyriv on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, or they had it even on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. Why would there be a difference? Because as we've discussed, the Gemara says it many times, there wasn't the same level of Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni as there was in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. And therefore they had different requirements for the two Bate Mikdash. There's an interesting opinion cited by the Rishonim. They want to say that the Beis HaMikdash Sheni permanently had this Kalya Oyrif. The Beis HaMikdash Rishon, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, he wasn't quite certain about the level of Kedusha that Beis HaMikdash would attain. So he put up a Kalya Oyrev on the roof. But then he saw that Baruch Hashem, it attained a very high level of Kedusha. And once it attained that very high level of Kedusha, they didn't leave it up there. V'kadam Rechaim Ra'omrim, that if you donate metal to the Beis HaMikdash, lo yifchos mekalya oirif. You have to use the amount that you could use for kalya oirif. What is the kama? And how much metal is that? Omer Yosef, amal amma, an amal amma metal. Nechoshes, if you donate copper, lo yifchos me moa kesef, you have to give at least the equal to moa of silver. Tanya, Rav Elazar Omer, lo yifchos me tzenur kan tanas on nechoshes. You shouldn't give less than a small copper fork. Ask the Gemara Lamai Chazya, what would they use that for in the Beis HaMikdash? Amar Abayu, Shmechatatim Banes HaPsilus Mekanchen HaNeiros. They would use it to trim the wicks of the menorah and clean out the lamps of the menorah. Mekak Sfarim, Mekak Matpeches. We spoke about the decayed Sfarim and the decayed covers of the Sfarim. Amar Yehuda, Mekak the Sifri, the worms of the scrolls. Tekak Shiroi, Mekak is the worm that attacks Sfarim. Tekak is the worm that attacks silks. Ve'ila, the envy, in the ila is the worm that attacks grapes. Upeh, the tani. Peh is the worm that attacks figs. Ve'ha, the rimani. And ha is the worm that attacks pomegranates. All of them are a sakono. Says the Gemara, Ahu Talmidei Davi Yosu Kamei Rabbi Yochanan. So there was a Talmud that was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and he was eating figs. Omlei, Rabbi Koitz Yeshli B'teinim. I feel like there are thorns in these figs. Omlei, Katla Pein L'Dedein. Rabbi Yochanan said, you ate the pear worm, and the pear worm is fatal. And he died from eating that worm. So I saw that the Sefer Cheshuki Chemed says, what's the Gemara teaching us? The Gemara is teaching us a very important lesson, that when you know different fruits or vegetables have a problem of infestation, as the Gemara identifies the different fruits that and different items that have these different worms that are in them, one has an obligation before he eats those fruits and vegetables to check for those worms, to check for the infestation. And the Gemara is further telling us that if somebody is not careful in doing so, chas v'sholem, he's putting his life in danger. Says the Mishnah, Moitzi kupas roichlim. If somebody takes out a box, the peddlers used to walk around with a box that had different items in them. So says the Mishnah, Hamoitzi kupas roichlim, api shesh by minim harbe, even though they are in the big box, there are many small boxes of different types of space, different types of spices. The halacha is, ein chayev el chatas achas. You'll only be chayev for one karm chatas because you carried out one box. So Tosfos asked the question, of course, you carried out one box. So of course, you'll only be chayev for one mice of carrying. So Tosfos, Divrei Hamotz, Divrei Hamaskel Hamotzi, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that there's a big chiddush in the Mishnah. Let's say you carried out this box that has in it these small boxes with different types of spices. That if you would carry each one of these small boxes individually, and then, as we learned so many times in this Masechta, you did it with not in one haloma, or you became aware of one without the other, you're going to have to bring separate carbon chatas. Here, since they're all connected in this box, they're all considered one item. And therefore, even though you carried out a box with different small boxes in it, no matter what the circumstances are, even though you become aware of each small box separately, you will never be mechuyev more than one carbon chatas, because it's all considered just one item. So I saw a very interesting shaila la'loch la'maisa. The Mishnah is teaching us that everything that's in one box is considered one item. So as we know, the halacha is on Purim, when somebody gives shalach manis, he has to give two minim. So the shaila is, if you're giving two different minim, but you put them into one box, is that going to be considered like you only gave one min? Or is it going to be considered like you gave different minim? They are different foods, but they're combined in one box. So the shaila of tshuva is Torah lishma, and simen kuf pay test, based on the din that we just learned in the Mishnah, wants to suggest that maybe you shouldn't give shalach manis different types of food in one box, because the one box combines everything into one as one min. And if it's all one min, we know that the mitzvah of shalach manis requires that you give two minim. However, Rav Ozner Zatzal, the Shaila of Tshuva Shevet Alevi, Chela Gimel Simen Tzadik Vav, disagrees. And he uses the point that we just mentioned a moment ago. When we speak about Hilchas Shabbos and we speak about different halachas, they have very different rules. So even though, as we just explained, as far as Hilchas Shabbos is concerned, everything in one box is considered just one, that doesn't mean that that's the halacha when we speak about Hilchas Shalach Manas. Zeroine Gina, if somebody takes out garden seeds, Pachs Mekroigris, the shear is a little less than a groigris. Normally the shear is a groigris. Here the shear is even less than a shear. It's not clear what does that mean. They want to say it's somewhere between a kazayas and a groigris. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh Raimer, Chamisha. Even if you take out just five seeds, Yechayiv. Zerek Shuim, cucumber seeds, Shnayim. Yechayiv, just for two seeds. As Rashi explains, cucumber seeds were considered very valuable, and therefore even just two seeds have significance. Zera Diluim, the seeds of a pumpkin, also Shnayim. Zera Polamitzri, the seeds of Egyptian beans, again, these are all significant vegetables, Shnayim, two seeds. Chagav Chai, if you take out a live kosher grasshopper, kosher, even if you take out the smallest amount. Because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, children were used to play with this. Mace, but if it's dead, so it's not something that's played with, now it's a food. They used to eat kosher grasshoppers. So the shear is a groigris. Tzipiris crumim, If you take out a type of a grasshopper, bein chaya, bein mesa, whether it's alive or dead, there even a kol shu. This was used for a medicine, and therefore even the smallest amount is significant. Even if somebody takes out a live, non-kosher grasshopper, he's chayiv, kosher, they used to use it for children to play with. The Tanakama, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda and says that you're not chayiv for taking out a live, non-kosher grasshopper, but a live kosher grasshopper, you are chayiv no matter what the shear is. But he says it doesn't apply by non-kosher because he says, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, they avoided giving the children the non-kosher grasshoppers. So Amishta says that the shear is of taking out these seeds is almost the shear of a groigris. Ask the Gemara Vermini, but we learned in the Mishnah on Dapei, Zevel v'chol adak, kedei lezabel krach shakruv, the amount you need to fertilize a single stalk of cabbage, divrei Rabbi Akiva, v'chamer mikedei lezabel krisha, the amount you need to fertilize a leek, you need, which is less, answers the Gemara, Amar Papa, Hadazriya, in a situation where the seed has already been planted, so any amount is significant because you want to fertilize that existing plant. Hadalizriya, when it's not planted yet, so then you need to take out more. When you're planting originally, nobody's going to plant such an insignificant amount. Zerish, zerik shuim, cucumber seed, tani rabbana moitzi garinin. If you take out pits, imlanatia, if you're taking out for planting, shtayim. Imlachila, if you're taking it out to feed your animals, kamoli pi chazir, the amount that you need to fill up the mouth of a pig. And the chiddush of this Gemara is that even though Jews are not allowed to raise pigs and they're not allowed to sell pigs, they're not allowed to be in that business, they are allowed to be in the business of feeding pigs. And therefore, that is a significant amount to you that you're taking out to feed your pigs, for a Jew to feed his pigs. And the chiddush is that we don't use the amount that's going to be used by a Jew. A Jew's not going to raise a pig. Even the amount that a Jew would take out to sell to someone, a non-Jew who's raising pigs, it's still considered chashiv. Im lahasik, if you're taking out the pits for fuel for a fire, kedei levashol pei kala. Im lecheshben, if they're using to count, l'shtayim achemer emichomesh. What they used to do is, they used to use pits. As a reminder, let's say I bought something from someone else, somebody bought something from me, and I want to remember how many of that he took. So like a token, every pit represents that he took 5 of that item, for example. So he says, so the Gemara, the Tanakhama says, 2 tokens are already considered choshev. And he says, nobody makes this kind of a system unless there are 5 tokens. Tanabonim, hamoitzi shnai niman. If somebody takes out 2 hairs, miznav hasus, from the tail of a horse, or miznav hapara, or from the tail of a cow, chayiv. Shemetznino sel nishbin. People would take away these hairs for making traps. Miksha shachazir, if somebody takes the bristles of a pig, achas, he's even chayiv for 1. They used to use it for the equipment that they used to sow. Tzurei dekel, the growth around the palm tree, shtayim. Tzurei dekel, it takes out the vine of the palm, there is chayv, even achas. And again, each one of these is dependent on what the chshivas is. Tzipiris keramim, we learned in the Mishnah, that by tzparis krumim, bechaya bemesa, whether it's alive or dead, the shear is a kosher. Ask the Gemara, my tzparis krumim. What exactly is tzparis krumim? Amar Rav palyaberry. It's a type of a bird called palyaberry. Amar Abaya, in talking about this tzparis krumim. You could find it in a young palm tree that only has one vine. And somebody who wants to get smart, that's what they used to use. You would eat the right half of this, and the left half of this, they would put Romalei begufsa in the chasha and a copper tube. And they would seal it with 60 seals. Rashi says that the Gemara uses this number of 60. It's not necessarily 60. It means to be sealed very, very well. And then put it on his left arm. A smart person has his heart on the right side. And a foolish person is on the smiley. So this person who needs to get smart, obviously he needs this ingredient because he's a ksil, he's not that smart. The chacham kam the boy, and now by eating this he'll get smarter. The gomer kam the boy, and you'll learn as much as you need to learn. And then eat the other half of it. Diloy, because if you won't do so, all of that you've accomplished, me'akat talmuda, you'll forget your learning. So I saw that the matastar for Rav Zitzal quoted his grandmother, who was the oldest daughter of the Chassam Sofer. She said a vart from the Chassam Sofer. He says, in the Perek Shira, we know the Perek Shira is the Perek where the different animals in the world, all the different creatures in the world, what they say, Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they say the Shira that the Tzpiris Kramim says is Ma'ayin Yovai Ezri. So he says, why is that the Shira of the Tzpiris Kramim? So he says, as we just learned in our Gemara, the Tzpiris Kramim is very healthy for somebody to get smarter. He says, there's another way how a person could become Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says in Masechta Chagiga Daf Tes, you can't compare somebody who learned something 100 times to somebody who learned something 101 times. The best way to become a Talmud Chacham is by reviewing something 100 times. He says, Ma'ayin, the gematria of the word Ma'ayin is 101. So the Tzipiris Kramim says that our Gemara says that if you want to remember what you learn, eat Tzipiris Kramim. Says the Tzipiris Kramim, I'll give you a better piece of advice. Ma'ayin, review your Gemara, Ma'ayin. Review what you learned 100 times, Yovei Ezri, like that you'll become a Talmud Chacham and remember your learning. So we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehudaim Afa Maitzi, that even if somebody takes out a live non-kosher grasshopper, he's chayiv, whatever the size is, because they used to give it for children to play with. Ask the Gemara, the Tanakhama Sover, that people don't put away non-kosher grasshoppers for children to play with. My Tama, what's the reason? Because they're concerned, Dilma Ochale, that the child may end up eating this non-kosher grasshopper. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi Taranami. If that's your concern, ask the Gemara, so that even a kosher grasshopper you shouldn't give to, that's alive, you shouldn't give to the child. The Rav Kahana have a koim kamei the Rav, for kamava shushive apume, he was passing a type of kosher grasshopper by his mouth. Amalei shakli, don't even hold it near your mouth. The loy lemer, that you, nobody should accuse you, the mechel ka'ochalei, that you're going to eat it, the kavava mishrim ba'ata shaksus nafshasechem. So we see that you're not allowed to eat any live grasshopper, even if they're kosher. So we shouldn't even give a live grasshopper to a child to play with, because he may come to eat it live. Says the Gemara, El Dima Mayis Vachalei. The Tanakhama is concerned that the grasshopper will die and the child will eat it. And therefore, nobody's going to eat a live one. No child is going to eat a live one. We're only worried that he's going to eat a dead one. And if it's not kosher, we don't want the child to eat the non-kosher grasshopper. Rabbi Yehuda says, Imayis, if the grasshopper is dead, caught the misbetulay. It was his toy, and now he's going to say it died. And therefore, he's not going to come eat it. But we see from here a very interesting point. We see that you're not allowed to give a child something not kosher that he may come to eat. So now the question is, why? The Gemara says that in Masechta Yevamos, katan oichel nevelis ain bizdem mitzuvim lafrishay. If a child eats something that's not kosher, you don't have to restrain him. So we're not giving the child this grasshopper to eat. So why should we not be allowed to give it to him? Why should we be concerned that he may eat it? We're not obligated to stop him. So Rashi says that although there's no obligation to stop him from eating it, however, there's still an isser to give it to him. Here we're talking about giving it to him. Giving it to him is osur. The Magen Avraham, however, quotes Dagos Oshri, who says that from here we see that you're not allowed to give non-kosher food to a child, even if you're not directly giving him the food to eat. Because it's like you're telling him, eat the food. The Malay Roim Dechsam Sofer disagree. And the Gemara says, from here, there's a Gemara Masechta Yevamos that says that somebody left his keys in the street on Shabbos, and Reb Pedos told them, leave children there to play on Shabbos, and they'll pick it up themselves. So we see that as long as you're not doing it directly, it's mutter. So the Malay Roim gives two explanations. He says, one is that here we're talking about a father. A father has a different obligation than anyone else. And therefore, father has to go out of his way to make sure that his child doesn't eat non-kosher food. Another pshat that he wants to suggest, that we're speaking about non-kosher food, and we have to be so careful about non-kosher food that we should do whatever we can to prevent our children or anybody from eating non-kosher food, and therefore even giving it to him in an indirect fashion should not be done. Hadron Loch Amar Bekiva, Hadron Loch Amar Bekiva, Hadron Loch Amar Bekiva.